he invited me here this morning and he asked me to talk about purpose. And it's great, actually, the way God does it, because it's already been woven through the meeting this morning, particularly what Charlotte was sharing. Charlotte, you could do this talk for me this morning, really. And Pete asked me to look at that from Genesis 1. So here we go. So who are you? Charlotte's question, who are you? Why are you here? What's it all about? So I thought, well, what is purpose? So I looked in the dictionary, because I like doing that. And purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which we exist. Okay, so that's what purpose is. Purpose is about answering these three questions for us. Why am I here? Who am I? And what am I here to do? So we look at why am I here? We can have all sorts of theories on that, can't we? Why am I here? And I want to put to you that there are a couple of ways we can go with that. There's a modern story that we can believe, or there's a Jewish story that we can believe. And what we believe actually determines how we go through this life. So I've got a quote from the modern story that you might recognise. In the beginning, matter and antimatter exploded apart, and stars, planets, and moons formed from the dust. And that is part of the modern story that I don't know about you, but when I was at school, I was taught was absolute fact that the Big Bang and evolution was, that was it, that was the way it went, based on a very atheist view of the world, that there was no God behind it, it was just a thing that happened. Now, I know there are an awful lot of very intelligent people in this room, because I've been talking to some of them before the meeting, and it's a little scary. So I'm not going into all the details of this, because I don't know enough, but if that is what we believe, it occurs to me that that can let us make us feel very random, very worthless, very fearful. You know, as we go through life, if that's all we have, we're here randomly, it just kind of happened, it was a series of events, there was nothing behind it, there was no body behind it, we're just here because we're here, nothing else going on, and we have to strive to make our way through this world with the fear and the uncertainty of what happens when bad stuff comes, where do we run to, it's all down to us. That actually is a pretty difficult thing to have at our core. But we have an alternative. We have the Jewish story, which tells us, and I've taken this not from Genesis 1, sorry Pete, this bit's from Genesis 2, that says, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit. I love that phrase, an individual complete in body and spirit. And you know, this is in Genesis 1. This is an ancient story written by ancient people. It's not intended to be a literal, a historical, or a scientific account. It's a story that focuses on the beginning of the world and humanity. It doesn't talk about what there was before that. We can read into it, all of that, but that's not what it's talking about. It's a parable that the Holy Spirit has inspired to tell us something really valuable about us and about God. It invites us into the story to make us wonder about ourselves. And it's written, not, as I said, as a scientific account, but it's there to show the why. The why am I here? Why are you here? The answer is that you are intentionally created by God and not by a meaningless thing that happened randomly. You are intentionally created by God. I love that bit I pulled out there, an individual complete in body and spirit. You are an individual. You matter. You have significance. It doesn't matter what you've done, what qualifications you've got, and I know you've got a lot, and they're fantastic, but it's you matter as an individual. created by God. You, just you. So, you know, we can choose what we're going to believe. I was sitting there thinking, could we even understand it if God sat us down and told us in detail how he made this world? Would we even comprehend it? I think Genesis offers us this wonderful story, this wonderful parable. It's like someone doing a week's work and taking a day off. That's kind of how it happened. It was like that. And after, out of that, we can draw significance of who we are. And I personally don't think we have to choose between science and we have to choose between Genesis. I don't think that's the point of the Genesis story. I think science is the process by which the world came into being, not the meaning of it. And Genesis actually gives us the meaning, not the scientific explanation. Do you know that verse in Proverbs? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. Do you know that one? And I think that applies really beautifully to the whole science thing. It's the glory of God to have concealed all these things. And it's our glory as people to be searching them out, to be learning, for science to be explaining how things came about. When I was at school, the Big Bang and evolution, it was fact. You didn't challenge it. That's what it was. Actually, as I've read around the subject, imperfectly and in my own small way, I've discovered there are loads of holes in the theories that were put to me as fact. And I actually did some reading. I was so proud of myself. Look, I read this. I read The Delusion of Evolution from cover to cover. And actually, it was fascinating. And this actually was all about intelligent design and about the fact that so many, even atheist scientists, are saying what has happened and the way this world's come into being cannot possibly have been without intelligent design behind it. And I just think that's not just comforting, but that is brilliant that these people are finding and searching out the way things have been. But it matters to our core. It matters to you. You know, Charlotte was just sharing. It matters whether we believe that we're here intentionally as the beloved children of a good Father God, or are we the result of a random explosion and evolution with no intrinsic worth and value? And I don't believe that, which you might be glad to hear since I'm leaving River Church. That's really good, isn't it? I'm going to come down on the side of the Jewish story, I'm going to look at the other two questions in the light of that, because I think that is the place that we can work from and find ourselves as the people of God. So, second question, we just did, what did we do? We did, why am I here? Second one, who am I? So the Jewish story speaks into who we are too. So I've got a quote from Genesis 1 here. Then God said, you're to be really familiar, let us make God in our image according to our likeness. Who am I? I'm made by God. Doesn't tell you how, but I'm made by God. That is the point. Just as a side issue, I've always been taught, you know where it says let us make God in our own image? I've always been taught that us is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But actually, if you think about it, if this is written by Old Testament people, two Old Testament people, they didn't know about the Trinity. So one of the commentators I read was saying, this is showing us the awe and the majesty of God. Like kings would go, let us, be such and such. God's going, let us make man in our own image. A thing to think about. It could be the Holy Spirit hid it in there for us, but if you were an Old Testament person reading that, that would be speaking to you of how great and awesome and mighty God was and how he made you. Which I think is pretty amazing. And you're made in his image. Who am I? In his image. We read it, don't we? But can you imagine how much you're worth if you're made in the image of God? Every one of you sitting in this room and out there and in Ethiopia, can you imagine how much every person is worth if they are made in the image of God? just as you are, nothing that you've done, no qualifications you've got, you're priceless and you're significant. And so is every single person outside those doors. Priceless, significant, so valuable. I looked up that word image in the Hebrew to see what it meant. And it can literally mean, where God says, let us make them in our image, a statue. That's the literal word for it, statue. Or figuratively, it can mean a resemblance or a representation. So I just want to just look at those two things for a minute. So let's look at the statue bit. So let us make man in our own image. It's like almost like a statue. So here's an interesting fun fact for you. Middle Eastern kings in ancient times used to put statues of themselves throughout their kingdom to remind people that they were king and to assert their authority. So a king would put a statue of himself around his kingdom and people would go, oh yeah, no, that's the king. And oh yeah, better obey the king. We're made in God's image. We're like his statues around this world, reminding people of who he is and reminding them that they're God, that he's God. Isn't that an interesting thought? That that's who you are as you walk out and about, a reminder to people of who God is. And actually, isn't that just what Jesus was? Jesus came as a reminder of who God was, to show who God was. John 1:14 says, and the word, Jesus, became flesh. Image of God became flesh and walked among us. And we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father. So Jesus is also our model. When we're looking at what God's image is like, we can look to Jesus. That's God in the flesh. He's our forerunner. He's the one we aspire to be like and are transformed towards being like. And that's how we represent God to the world. And you, Pete, wherever you are, mentioned the word ambassadors. So I thought also about 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Everywhere we go, made in the image of God, we are showing people this is who God is. Absolutely. So that bit about resembling him, about representing him, made me think about Moses in the Old Testament. So do you remember Moses said to God, show me yourself. Show me what you look like. And that was a pretty dangerous question to ask in them their times. But what was it God said? God said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. And he actually proclaimed his name, which was all about his character. He talked about, I'm going to be gracious to who I'll be gracious. I'm going to be compassionate, show loving kindness to who I want to. So the other part of being made in God's image is resembling him, is representing his character. So he's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of loving kindness. He's a God of goodness. And that is our challenge. That's our inspiration, to show people that is what God is like. So who are you? You are utterly valuable. You are totally significant. And you are a visible and a physical reminder to people of what God is like and to show them that he's real. That's who we are. And that's quite aside from whatever you do in your jobs or all the rest of it. We're not judged by the world's standards on this. That is who you are as a person. And how amazing is that? How amazing that is the value that you carry as a person. So, last question. What am I here to do? So we've looked at why am I here? We've looked at who am I? So what am I here to do? Now we've we just already talked about representing him, showing his goodness, showing his character, reminding people of who he is. There's another angle to it as well. I've got this quote from Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, granting them authority, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subjugate it. That means putting it under your power. And rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So, what am I here to do? There's a massive part of representing God, but there's an equally massive part of caring for this creation and this world that he's put us in. God said this planet was good. He said this earth was good. If God thinks something's good, I think I ought to be looking after for something that he thinks is good. And Adam was actually formed. It says the dust of the ground, but the Hebrew word is Adamah. So Adam came from Adamah. Adam the man came from the stuff of the earth. He was an earthling. And there's just some connection between us and the earth, the planet that we live in. God spoke the other things into being, but he didn't speak us into being. He made us from the very earth that he had created. So there is this connection that we have with our world and a relationship with it. And I think we are to work it, obviously, feed ourselves and live, but we're to care for it, we're to master it. And I love this. The commentator said, we are here as the sons and daughters of God to help the earth come, creation come to its completion and reach its destiny in this story of God and his people. Isn't that an amazing thought? We're here as part of a creation that's groaning, that wants to become this fullness of what it's created to be, just as we will too in due course. So, that's all environmental issues, our response to our creation around us, green issues. There's been a whole thing about plastics recently, hasn't there? How can we reduce that? It's really easy to dismiss that, to not be bothered with it, to think somebody else will do it. But actually, I just suggest we have a responsibility to do something about that. So Jonathan will tell you, we have this recycling bag at home for plastics and tin foil and all that sort of stuff. And it's a constant small battle going on between us as to what belongs in the recycling bag. Jonathan shoves anything that looks even baby plastic in there, and I'm constantly pulling it out and going, does this pass this crunch test? Scrunch it up. No, it does not. Therefore, it doesn't belong in the recycling bag. It's a faff, isn't it? But you know what? That's part of our responsibility as the sons and daughters of God to care for this incredible earth that God has given us. And I'm going to show you something in a minute that I hope will help you appreciate afresh the beauty of what God has given us to live in. So, last point, part of what are we here to do? That bit about filling the earth, putting it under your power, the bit we talked about the statues earlier, where we're asserting the king's authority. For me, that spoke all about bringing the kingdom of God here on this earth. And that is what we are here to do, here on this earth. So, this is my favourite scripture in the entire Bible. That's a really large phrase, isn't it? However, it's Psalm 24, it's verse 7 and 8, and I love this. It says, wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory. For he is about to come through you. You ask, who's this glory king? He's the Lord, armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, invincible in every way. We are doors, we are gates for the King of Glory to come into this world. Are we going to be closed? A little bit open? Or are we going to be worshipping him as the people of God, wide open, so that he can come through us into this world and bring his kingdom? And that is part of what we are here to do, to represent him, to show people what he's like, to care for this world, but to bring him into this world in all his glory, in all his power, so he can come and transform people and give people miracles like you had last week, change our lives and help us live for him.